This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Delaney, welcome to the show, broadcasting from Florida. Boy, do we have some great people that we're talking to this hour. We're going to take you to some interesting places. A conversation with Marcus Schaefer about freedom. What is it that we all want? Boy, is that a tough question to answer for some people. Family, time, money, success, it all makes sense, doesn't it? And then we'll be talking to Lee Jones again. We spoke to him the other week, and people loved hearing from Lee Jones. I love hearing about his book, On the Wings of a Sleepless Night, Chronicles of a Freight Dog. His story is so inspirational because as a kid, he watched the tube and got hooked on Air America. And then the next thing you know, he ended up flying. And I'm not even doing it justice because I want you to be able to hear his story if you haven't heard it. But the places that he went, some of the sketchy things that happened, countless near crashes and, you know, large jets and cargo planes and flying under the radar, top secret trips that the government would probably deny, he says, the certain dangers he flew, bombs into the war-torn Middle East, of course. Think of that going off around you, and covert missions to get the intel on communist Russia. And really staring death in the eye, as he talks about, and coming out of it somehow on the other side. Miracles. Anyway, it is such an interesting journey, starting to learn how to fly, then retiring, and all the funny things and interesting things and scary things that happened in between. Patricia Cote will join us and to talk about the Magic Zoo. And wait till you hear the statistic I have on zoos. And how many zoos, just even take a guess, it's like guessing the marbles, how many zoos do you think there are in the world? Let's just say it's a lot. So again, I am broadcasting from Florida, taking the show on the road, a couple of different locations in Florida, close to Orlando, then back toward Tampa and St. Petersburg. So we'll be broadcasting. I'm doing some speaking. It's interesting. I'm speaking at the Festival of Storytellers, and I'm excited about doing that for a great group of people called Reader's Magnet. They really work with some incredible authors, and we're also taking the show into some interesting ports to see if we can do some America Tonight intel, get some intel anyway for America Tonight on what's happening in the shipping industry. I guess that's the best way to put it. So again, can't wait for that, and this is going to be an interesting time broadcasting from Florida. A couple of things. You know, the people around the world that have been smashed by COVID, of course, is all of us in some way. I say this all the time. And we've talked about this a little bit. Last week we mentioned it on the show, but India has gone over 100 million vaccinations. You think of the amount, though, of people in India, a populous country of 1.4 billion. So now they're starting to click and really roll out those vaccines. They had just the other week 153,000 coronavirus cases with over 800 deaths. So they're trying to do what they can, because India's total caseload stands at more than 13.5 million, and that's only second to the United States and Brazil. So that's where it all ranks, which is crazy. And Delhi is witnessing what they're calling a fourth wave of coronavirus pandemic, and the situation, of course, is horrible. The government is trying to improve it, but how many doctors, how many places? And they talk about having 60 doctors in New Delhi, and they tested positive for COVID-19. So now you get these doctors that test positive, and they're off of the front lines. That is a huge, grim statistic and a massive dilemma. I mean, it is. It's a massive dilemma. So the United States, number one, still Brazil, though, catching up, sadly, and same thing with India and then what they're dealing with there. Because I flew to Florida, I haven't been on a plane in, and I was flying a lot, if you remember with the show, if you're a longtime listener, and if you weren't, you're brand new, well, welcome to the show. It's interesting to fly in these times, right? So how do you fly safely? And the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently eased the domestic and international travel guidance for vaccinated people, which I am vaccinated. I have two Moderna shots, totally covered, got right through the two-week period, right on the nose of the two-week period. But the CDC, of course, is discouraging non-essential travel because of the rising numbers of the infections and the contagious variants that we're talking about and we've been talking about that have hit all 50 states. And the virus is really hitting an age group close to my heart, of course, the 30 to 50 year olds. So not everybody, you know, in the beginning of this, it was, oh my gosh, I'm worried about my grandfather, my great grandfather, mother, sister, grandmother, etc. Now that has switched a little bit. So is it truly safe to fly? Masks and ventilation, that is the key. That's three things to look at in the studies. In real world studies of the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines, they show they're 90% protective against the coronavirus. It still means you could get infected. So being masked, especially when you're talking about flights, is so important, and that's why you have to be masked on the flights. And that's why we've seen a couple of problems on flights where people freak out about that or do something crazy, and then that's it. A Harvard University report that was released last October concluded that the risk of catching COVID-19, this made me feel good about flying, by the way, for the first time in a year and a half, is rare as long as people are masked. The airport uses safety precautions. The planes have installed, these high efficiency particulate air filters, and the filters are rated to remove 99.97% of dust, pollen, mold, bacteria, and other airborne particles. And that's the good news there. So can it be improved? Yeah, more filters in planes. Proper filtration is the key to safe air travel. So if you have the proper filtration, that's what you'll get. And they're upgrading that. That's one of the things that is being upgraded depending on what airline it is. And I guess the real thing and the real thing you worry about and where I was concerned and it was fine is running on a plane and jumping on the plane, the filtration, how safe is it going to be? And they say it's safer than eating at a restaurant as long as everybody is masked. Short flights are better, smaller planes are better, that kind of thing. If they have the filter, again, that's what the whole deal is. So as long as that happens, then that's good. As long as if it's a short flight, if it's under an hour and everybody's masked, they say it's okay. And that is key. Just plan getting to the airport, when you're getting to the airport, and make sure everybody's masked and, follow the safety protocols so I can breathe and you can breathe if you do those sorts of things. All right, hang through. As I said, we have a lot coming your way. I'm excited. Marcus Schaefer up first, then Lee Jones and Patricia Cote. Stay with us.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Schaefer joins us now. He's in the virtual green room, and he's written a book called Freedom, Family, Time, Money, Success.
Yes.
And I think Mark, as you hear there in the background, has his finger on the pulse of what is missing. And we both agree of what we saw, what we didn't learn in school, and if, we could have filled in those gaps. So I think his book is timely. I think it's important, and I think it's a great resource for lots of people listening to this radio show. So, Marcus, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's explain the setup. What was incomplete in your education, in your opinion?
Oh, so much. I really think that just the proper mindset to achieve wasn't taught to me in basically any traditional educational system. I really think that you drop the ball on starting a business. You drop the ball on investing. You drop the ball on a lot of different areas. But we know calculus and we know algebra. And that just didn't sit well with me. So
you decided you were going to tackle it in a book. Is that what led to writing the book?
Yeah. So I actually got blessed with an opportunity to join a business group that was a part of the Amway Corporation. And through that group, they actually had a lot of vast business knowledge and education. I mean, these people were making hundreds of thousands of dollars per month. And a lot of that mindset applies to any business, not just the Amway organization. So I took a lot of those notes and said, hey, this information should be available to everyone. It shouldn't just be available to this unique group of people. So I wanted to kind of put a lot of that out there and give everybody a shot to that information.
Yeah. So give us a little sneak peek. What is the mindset that they had that made them so successful?
Well, first, they always started with a dream. They always started with what do you want, but then they go deeper to what do you truly want? What do you truly desire? And it's really a moment of they really took the time to expand your mind into understanding that things are possible, like everything in the world is possible. Anything is possible, no matter your situation. It just starts with a mindset change. And that's what I'm really looking to do, is just to ignite that spark with this book in a lot of people's hearts, to start to understand that, you know, don't limit yourself, and you'll start to build those bridges to take you to the next level.
Yeah, so there is something about thinking small.
Absolutely.
And it's easy to do because that's what we're taught. It goes back to what we initially said here and why you discovered freedom and why you felt you needed to share this information, which, of course, I'm glad you did, is that that is a real big block with a lot of people, isn't it?
It is. It is. It definitely is. And a lot of people, you know, when they hear the title, they think, okay, everybody has freedom. This must be a slavery tale. And it's not. It's we all tend to be slaves to the dollar bill, unfortunately. We all have to give our certain amount of hours for dollars. And I'm just trying to inspire people to achieve true freedom, which is I've taken care of the financial part, so now I can fully experience the world.
Right, and then it's that theory, do you believe in this, that, you know, the more you get, the more you give.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's more you can experience in the world, there's more you can offer to the world. And here you are, and you're doing that. You know, you understand the importance of, okay, how do I figure out the economics of this and start my own thing? And you got involved in real estate. So you say to yourself, I want to get involved in real estate. And tell us about that journey.
It's actually a journey that's just beginning. I sat down a while ago and I kind of understood that you need a couple sources of income if you really want to start to generate wealth. And when I had the opportunity to, well, I guess circumstances, I started listening to a podcast, ran into this guy named Jamal King. He introduced a whole complete real estate course. So I took that course and it really just gave me, it gives you all everything you need to be successful in real estate. You just have to start. So I officially started my real estate investment company, called Shea Invest. And, we're looking at properties right now. And we're in Texas. So the market is so huge that it's actually more difficult to find, you know, properties that, you know, are not necessarily where they need to be. I'm looking to like restore them and get top value for them. So, but yeah, I did start that.
Wow. So good for you. And that's, you know, part of what you're talking about. What is the dream? How do you accumulate wealth and what are the ways to do that? And when you sat down with the book, was it fun to write?
Yeah, it definitely was fun to write. It was a venture. That I didn't know where it was going to go. I just literally, I sat down one day, brainstormed a bunch of ideas from that organization I spoke about previously. And I set a goal for myself for every day. I said, you know what? I'm going to write 300 words a day. But what I found is that while writing, I really didn't want to lose the topic. And I got so passionate and so involved with what I was talking about that I would write, you know, 600, 700, 800 words per day, just trying to finish that thought while you have those creative juices flowing. But yeah, because of that, I mean, it was times where, yeah, and this is around college times. There's times where I, you know, decided not to go out with the friends and go home and write just because it was like, man, I got to finish this chapter. I got to finish this subject. So yes, it was fun.
Wow. So good for you. So what do people around you say about, your book, Freedom, Family, Time, Money, Success?
I got some really good feedback so far. One of my close friends, he read the book fully through and he was like, man, I was just completely inspired by it. It was a lot of information that a lot of stuff that you would think would be common sense that we should have been taught is in the book. And I'm just glad that you, you know, exposed that information. And he's looking to put the book in a book drive in a college, just so it can get in the hands of other people and just try to get it rotating. And then, of course, you know, my father has read it. He loves it. My brother's read it. He loves it. So nothing bad just yet.
I like that. Nothing bad just yet. So what does success mean to you? What's your big dream?
So I kind of touched on them when I said fully experience the world. I just really believe that, or I have a passion to be able to experience the pyramids in Egypt, be able to go to Paris, be able to travel the world, be able to interact with other people, other cultures. I believe we're just meant to fully experience this world, and I don't believe that can occur when we're given 40 hours of our life to someone else. So my dream is just to do that, take care of the finances on the back end, but also help other people along the way, because it's no fun to travel the world and do that by yourself. So if I had to define my dream, it would be to live carefree because I've secured myself financially and to help other people live the same way I do.
Yeah. What a great dream that is. Marcus Schaefer, again, the book Freedom, Family, Time, Money, Success. Thanks so much. You can pick it up on Amazon. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I love what Marcus has hit on, because when you think about even just the word freedom, the name of his book, you know, the family, time, money, success, I've read survey after survey, I've conducted survey after survey, and one thing is clear: what is freedom? And freedom is finding your true purpose, is being able to do that, being able to feel free, and all the things that he mentions make you feel free, because it takes a lot of guts sometimes to follow your own authentic values and beliefs, to build boundaries, to protect yourself from what others think and will tell you what's right, as we talked about there in a different way, and to forge your own path in life and work, with, no matter what the challenges are, or the naysayers. And the naysayers so often, sadly, are people we love and care about. So there's no doubt that it takes courage to make yourself your best authority on where you're headed, on work and life, and it's not the easiest thing to do. And he talks about this in his book. He talks about the challenge, what is freedom, and it's like the thing with money. And, you know, you can be a millionaire and still it's never enough. It's how you treat money. It's how you think about money. And I think one of the big questions is, how much money do you really need to bring about the life experiences that will make you filled up, that will truly fulfill you? And if you want to generate more income, do you know, as Marcus is talking about with freedom, do you know how to generate it? So anyway, very, very good book. I love his enthusiasm, and I can't wait to see where he ends up. You can get that book on Amazon.com. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
More than 30,000 Russian troops have been massing near their border with Ukraine as tensions in the area continue to rise between the two countries over Russian-backed separatists operating in the east of Ukraine. The United States and the European Union have vocalized their support for Ukraine, but many worry that a full-blown conflict is inevitable. French President Emmanuel Macron says that he would prefer to see a diplomatic solution to the crisis, but tells CBS News that if Western powers are going to draw red lines with Russia, they have to ensure that they'll be respected.
I think we have to be clear and tough. It was a failure of a naive approach vis-à-vis Russia. I'm definitely in favor of discussion with Russia, with an open, quiet and respectful discussion with Russia. But I think that when we put red lines, we have to be sure to be credible and to make these red lines respected by the others.
This is USA Radio News. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued a warning concerning a popular treadmill. John Clemens has the story.
The warning was issued to owners of the Peloton Tread Plus that has a price tag of $4,300 after 39 incidents, one of which resulted in death. Joseph Mardiak is with the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Any consumer using the Peloton Tread Plus who has or could have a pet, a child, or an object around this device, this warning is for you. You should not be using this treadmill because it has the capability in almost 40 cases of sucking the child or the object or the pet underneath, and we've had serious injuries, entrapment. They've been pinned, they've had abrasions, they've had multiple fractures, and of course, sadly, a fatality.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now I'm reading in between everything I've been doing. I just finished it the other day. It's called On the Wings of a Sleepless Night, Chronicles of a Freight Dog. Lee Jones is in our virtual green room, and he starts his book off where he talks about what it was that made him want to be a pilot, how he was watching the final credits for I Love Lucy, and it faded to black. The orchestra swelled in a crescendo, as he said, and a silver F-104 of Starfighter streaked across the black and white screen, and then that was it. He was hooked. So Lee Jones joins us now. Lee, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
So let's talk about that moment. So you just got hooked. You saw the plane, you saw the starfighter, and you saw how it flew across the TV screen, and there was just something about it that sucked you in and got you interested.
Yes, it actually, back in the day, this was back when I was about 4 years old, TV signed off at night about 9 o'clock at night because there were only three channels and there was only so much content. They ran out of content, so they signed off till the next day. And at the end, they had this poem that was written by a World War II fighter pilot named John Gillespie McGee, Jr. He read this poem as this F-104, which was the fighter of the day back then, and actually didn't get retired until probably 30 years ago. Streaked across the sky when he was reciting this poem, or actually somebody else was reciting it, and it was flying through the clouds, and the words of the poem itself, as well as the video footage back then, and this went on for decades, and they just kept changing airplanes. But
wow.
Anyway, between the poem and then the visual effects of that, I sat up and waited every single night to watch that sign off. Every single night. I knew I was in. All in.
You were all in, and then what do you do as just a young kid? You start to figure out, how can I learn to fly? So tell us about that story. Give us an abbreviated version of how does this kid get in the cockpit?
Well, I grew up in a family of a Methodist minister's grandfather and his wife. My grandmother was also a church secretary, and my mother was the church youth director. And one day, and I'm probably in the second grade by then in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they were having a paper drive, which had a big dumpster out back. Everybody bought their newspapers and magazines. And I jumped in there, and I'm crawling through out of just pure boredom, and I see this magazine with an airplane on it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And it was Flying Magazine. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I found about 10 or 12 of them. I dug them all out. And those were my holy grail. I took those things home, and I read them cover to cover, and I was just re-elated into it. Not to mention there was a new TV show then called Sky King, which I watched every Saturday morning, which just kept building that. So anyway, in a nutshell, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get into flying. One of the members of the church had a Luscombe 8F Silver, which I remember intently. And my grandfather, this was a member of the church, he knew this guy that had an airplane. He goes, my son's coming up on his 12th birthday. Any chance you could give him an airplane ride? He goes, sure. So he takes me out on my 12th birthday. As soon as we got airborne, he goes, grab the controls and I'll talk you through it. And that just solidified everything because I was actually flying the airplane. I loved it. And then I pestered the poor man for weeks on end. He goes, I'm not an instructor. You have to figure this out on your own. So anyway, I was delivering newspapers in the wee hours of the night with a gentleman named Don. And so I would wrap and roll the newspapers. I wasn't old enough to drive. And we'd talk about airplanes because he was interested, too. And he said, oh, by the way, there's a flight school here in Chattanooga that I just found out about. They're going to be doing a private pilot ground school for about 6 weeks and cost $50. You want to go? And I said, sure. So I mowed grass, collected Coke bottles, whatever I needed to do, plus the money I got from him. And then he picked me up because I wasn't old enough to drive. And I walked in with my $50, and the owner of the flight school said, you're awful young. How old are you? I said, 12. He said, you know, $50 is a lot of money. And back then it was. I said, I want to do it. He goes, well, I'm not going to stop you. Go have a seat. So everybody else is adults, and they ribbed me the entire 6 weeks. You know, you're wasting. And, of course, at the end of every week, every night that I went to school, I asked Mr. Farr, that was his name that owned the flight school, can I get a job doing anything? I got to learn to fly. No. And then at the very last night, they said, this is the practice FAA exam. It's very difficult. This is the culmination of your 6 weeks. If you pass, you'll be good to go to take the real exam. And so they're all joking and ribbing me and stuff, and I grabbed the exam and I tore into it. And at the end, he said, okay, I've got all the results. By the way, four of you failed. And he says, several of you just barely passed. And he goes, there was only one guy that stands out here that did really good, and he did 96, and that's Mr. Jones right back there, the kid that you've been ribbing. And that changed the entire network of these people. They were just like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did this well.
Wow.
So on the way out the door, I'm walking up to Mr. Farr because I'm going to ask again. He said, stop, don't do it. Don't ask me for the job because you already got it. I'm really impressed. He said, I'm not going to give you any money. I'm going to give you airplanes to wash, floors to sweep, whatever I need you to do. We're going to keep a ledger, and I'll give you so much for each airplane you wash, et cetera. And then he said, we'll put that in a ledger, and we'll use that towards your flight lessons, including the instructor and the airplane. I said, okay. And then by the time I turned 16, time to solo, I had flown every airplane in the fleet, and I was the only kid in school with dishpan hands.
Wow. I love that, dishpan hands. All right, so let's fast forward to that great story of being a kid, getting that opportunity, and then you become a freight dog. For everybody listening, and that's, you know, the name of the book, On the Wings of a Sleepless Night, Chronicles of a Freight Dog. What's a freight dog, and what was that like?
Well, when I became a freight dog in 1978, I get my first airline job as a first officer, a co-pilot, on a Convair 580, which was the largest airplane I had ever gotten close to. And after I got checked out on the airplane as a co-pilot, I asked the guy I was flying with, his name was Ron, I said, why do they call us freight dogs? He said, well, there's a unofficial organization called Freight Dogs Anonymous, which is a decades-old brotherhood of cargo pilots that fly on the backside of the clock like we do because you fly at nighttime. And he said, they call us freight dogs, and it's called Freight Dogs Anonymous. And I said, where'd that come from? He said, oh, I don't know. So years and years later, I looked it up when I was actually writing this book, and it actually came from an ancient order, which I can't seem to find how far back it goes, but the Freemasons conjured it back up in this 18th century. But it was called the Royal Order of the Sleepless Knights, which freight pilots adopted, and it was an ancient order sworn to honor justice and the preservation of property rights and capitalism from thieves and vandals who roamed during the night. So that's where Freight Dogs Anonymous came from, the Order of the Sleepless Night, which is what I have named the book after.
It's crazy, too. Your stories, I mean, we could talk all day. We don't have very much more time, but you have great stories of things that have happened to you, of where you've flown. I mean, this book is just makes you laugh out loud, no question about it. What do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Well, you know, a lot of people that have read the book that have contacted me said, you know, there is inspirational. There's laugh out loud moments in there. There's other moments like, oh my God, you can't make this stuff out. How come you're still alive? But, you know, over my period of 52 years of flying airplanes now, and fixing to go back at it again, I got in with an organization or another airline that turned me into a mercenary and a spy, as well as a cargo pilot, flying international heavy jets all over the globe. And, in fact, in one chapter, I named it, How Did I Get Here? Because I wasn't really sure. But the owner of the airline kind of handpicked people that he did to do these CIA missions that were off to the side. We were doing a lot of military contracts and a lot of normal, mundane cargo. But off on the side, he'd have these trips that would go out doing contract CIA work. And you knew when it was one of those trips when he would call you at home himself and say, Lee, I need you to come to the office. I got a trip for you. I'd say, what's it about? He goes, well, I can't tell you. You have to come up here. And the first one of those I went in, which there was many, I walked into the office, and he sat down and explained the trip, and he gave me a paper bag full of cash. And I'm like, what's that for in case things go wrong? I get it. And then probably there's several of those trips in the book, which there, you know, you'll be going, oh my God, you know, how this kid lived through this. Because back then, you know, I think I was early 30s when all this was going on. And I was a heavy DCA captain and an instructor and a check airman, which is a designee by the FAA. He called me up for this one trip, and he goes, you're the only guy that I know that's a real, true international specialist. I need you to go along with this crew. And he's going to go all the way around the world. But he goes, the important part is the last leg. You're going to pick up crew in Hong Kong. You're going to fly. Now, this is while Russia was still a communist country. He said, you're going to leave Hong Kong. You're going to be coming up to Anchorage, Alaska. But when you get about halfway up, you're going to take a hard left in Japan, and you're going into communist Russia. I says, oh, really? Yep. I said, what do you want me to do there? He says, well, we're just going to say it's a first ever American flight going into communist Russia to get fuel to pave the way for more business in the future. And I said, and they're buying in on this? He goes, trust me, it's all paid for. Everything's all set. And I said, okay. And I said, what do you want me to do while I'm there? Take pictures of what? Everything.
Take pictures of everything. So, and wait a second, to finish the rest of this story, we were out of time. So they got to read the book to find out the rest of the story. But needless to say, you escaped Russia barely.
Barely. And they actually attempted to kill me a couple of months later in Germany.
Oh, that's crazy.
They weren't real happy with this.
Yeah, crazy. It's a great, great story. On the Wings of a Sleepless Night, Chronicles of the Freight Dog, Lee Jones. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes, and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
All right, we're headed to Perth, Australia for a conversation with Patricia Coty, and she's written a book called The Magic Zoo, and it really stretches your imagination in some, I think, neat directions. And it's the kind of book that you could get for any kid, of any age, and I think this is a book adults can read too. And she's got such an interesting background, and so we're thrilled to have her on. Hey, Patricia, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you told me it's interesting. First of all, we want to set this up. You have all together in your brood, I'll call it, 8 children. Wow. That's like a baseball. That's a 2 infields.
Kind of like that, or maybe a basketball team, which is what most of the boys are into.
So you really understand kids because you've been around a lot of kids, huh?
Pretty much most of my adult life, yeah.
And this is the direction you went into, because the Magic Zoo originally was an assignment, right?
Yeah. I was studying to be an education assistant, and one of our tasks was to create a story to read to a small group of children. And one of my colleagues asked me to write a story for her based on a couple of toys, so that's what I did.
So that's so interesting. So they put these toys out and say, can you write a story about this? And your mind stretches to this magic zoo.
Yeah, right on the spot, instantly, yeah.
Wow. The magic zoo, and I said it really is an interesting place. Explain 2 of your main characters, so, you know, tell us a little bit more about them, Jack and Sam, and what the zoo is like.
Well, Jack and Sam are 2 brothers who like going to the park a lot, but this particular park is no ordinary park. It actually changes every time you enter the gate. And on this particular adventure, it turns into a magic zoo. And they come across lots of weird and odd animals that you would never think of seeing in real life. So it kind of like opens up your imagination to like endless possibilities.
Mm. Did you have a favorite animal that you created?
If I could pick any of them, it would probably be the bubble breathing dragon. instead of fire, he breathes bubbles.
I like it. Bubble breathing dragon. I can see that as a toy. I can see that as a separate spin-off. See, what's so interesting is some of your animals immediately made me think of animated characters.
Yeah. I've actually had a few offers to, like, turn it into, like, movies, but unfortunately, as with everything, you need money to create these things, so it's been a very slow process.
That's all right. So you just, you know, it's something that you've got in your back pocket. What do you hope people take away from, and kids especially, being read to or reading themselves, The Magic Zoo?
Just opening up their minds to, like, being able to use their imagination that, you know, anything's possible, like, not limiting to coming up with any kind of creation. Just using your imagination and, you know, getting lost in adventures that you normally wouldn't be able to have in real life.
Yeah. And do you think, what do you attribute your imagination to?
Just the fact that I've always loved writing. I love reading. I've always had my nose in various different types of genre books, and I just like making other people happy and giving them something to get lost in, basically, other than everyday life.
I like that, something to get lost in, and that's exactly what that book is. You are, and we talked about your 8 kids, but we didn't talk about this, and I think people would find this fascinating, and you said it. You were studying to be an education assistant, and you're a special ed education assistant right now. And people, I think, can relate to this with autism and so many kids on the spectrum and so many kids with attention deficit disorder. So what's that like?
It can be very challenging a lot of the times because sometimes if you have non-communicative, it's very hard for them to communicate to you what they need. So it can be very challenging. But then other times when you do get through to them and you can help them get along on their journey in learning, it's really rewarding.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has to feel, at the end of the day and with weeks that may have ups and downs, it has to feel really good to make that connection.
Yeah, seeing them, like, you know, blossom and start to learn and adjust and, you know, blend in with, you know, other average children and then see them progress and, you know, starting to show signs of, you know, doing really well, it really makes you feel good. Like, you know, you're doing something and achieving something for somebody else.
Yeah. Where would you like that career to take you? Is this in another direction or what happens from here?
I'm quite happy to just be where I am at the moment because eventually I want my writing career to take off as well. So I'm kind of dabbling into the best of both worlds. So I'm sort of keeping my options open.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you have the perfect, for people listening, you have the perfect career. You love kids. You're involved with different kids. You have a lot of kids yourself. And you've got the Magic Zoo. And who knows, because once you have a book, I think the book, your kind of book is the book that keeps giving. You never know where it's going to end up. And your writing, in fact, is leading you in an even another direction. And I want to make sure that we want to tell everyone they can get The Magic Zoo on Amazon. Is there any other place they can get it?
Or they can email me and I can send copies as well.
Okay, so tell us your email address.
Partygirl73@live.com.
I like that. Partygirl73@live.com. Okay, so the next book that you have in the pipeline, tell us about that.
Okay, so this one is a totally different genre. It's medieval, and it's called Jonah's Quest. And it's basically about a prince going on a quest to hunt down and slay a dragon that destroyed half of his kingdom and some of his family. So it's full of swordplay, witches, goblins, dragons, ogres, that kind of thing, with a slight little bit of romance in there, for good measure.
I like that slight bit of romance. Did you have to do with the medieval stuff? Did you have to do a lot of research?
A lot of research. And because I'm old school, I'm pen and paper, like I probably did 2 trees worth of writing before I actually was happy with it. And I've probably done about 5 different drafts before I was happy with the main copy that I sent to the publishers.
That's great. So it's at the publishers and a future publishing date ahead.
hopefully this year sometime, yeah. Unfortunately, with COVID delaying a lot of things, it sort of slowed down the process a lot, but it's now hopefully in the last stages, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, I was thinking about this, like, you know, these different kids that have crossed your paths. I hope that some of them have been able to read The Magic Zoo.
Yeah, my school was very supportive, actually, and bought a lot of copies, and I had to do a lot of readings, which I'm not very good at. I'm more of a writer, not a speaker, but, yeah, I had a lot of good support and a lot of enthusiasm on the hopes that there would be another one.
Nice, I like that. Well, the bubble-breathing dragon was my favorite, too, and you and I discovered we both have a great love for dancing, so if we ever meet, we have to go dancing.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. And support Patricia. Pick up this book, The Magic Zoo, and we can't wait for your next book, Jonah's Quest, right?
Yes. Hopefully it will come out this year. Fingers crossed.
All right. Our fingers are crossed, and it was such a delight to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome.
So talking to Patricia Cote made me think about zoos, and I think I said this at the beginning, but if I didn't, I was such a huge fan of, especially when I was a kid, of zoos. My father died when I was 8, and it's one of my best memories of him taking me to the Bronx Zoo and a couple of other zoos. So the best I could get as to how many zoos there are around the globe is 10,000 zoos. Do you believe it? And they all add up to about 600 million visitors. Now, it may have changed a little bit during the pandemic, but wow, isn't that crazy? 600 million around the globe, but 10,000 zoos. And it also made me think of my favorite zoos, and you may have your favorite zoos, and imagine the imagination of taking the toys. You go to this park every day, something's different, and then it turns into the Magic Zoo, which Patricia talked about in her book. And the number one, because people have been asked this so many times, the number one zoo in the world, sorry for all the Brits and Australians and everybody else listening, is the San Diego Zoo in California. And I didn't realize this. I've been there probably 3 or 4 times. It opened in 1916. It's in a beautiful place, Balboa Park in San Diego, and it's the most visited zoo in the United States, and it's the main attraction there. But some of the most beautiful zoos in the world that also make the list, the Wellington Zoo in North Island, New Zealand, which, of course, New Zealand is beautiful all the way around, Toronto Zoo in Ontario, Canada, the Australian Zoo on the Sunshine Coast, the Yokohama Zoo in Japan, you can imagine the pandas, the Berlin Zoo in Germany, and where I'm from, the Philly Zoo and the Bronx Zoo, they all made a top 10 list. So how about that? I was wondering, what is your favorite? When was the last time you've been to a zoo? Email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Thanks to Patricia, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.